This is the North Georgia Life Podcast. Embrace life where you live. Welcome back to the North Georgia Life Podcast. It's Jake, your host, and today we are on the phone with Jimmy Harris, who has held a number of hats in the Trout Unlimited organization here in North Georgia, the Foothills chapter of TU. It covers a variety of counties in our area, which we'll talk about in the podcast. But if you are in the surrounding areas and this is not you don't maybe live in the county, but you'd be interested in getting involved. It is not county specific. They don't scan your driver's license or anything like that. But we kind of cover a number of things in the podcast. I will tell you, there are so many different levels of community and interests and just life phases and stages. I've been involved in the organization previously, and it is like you have, quite frankly, like grade school kids that come with their dad or their grandpa. And then you have grandpas who are enjoying their retirement. They have time to help and share and build community with the organization and the surrounding community. It is just a different, I don't know if I can say it's a different breed of people. It is, I think, the way most of us would like organizations to feel, which is extremely welcoming. Everybody is just there to help preserve the environment we call home, to help give back to the community in a variety of ways that are just really unique. They're not, you know, some of the kind of traditional ways because of their kind of niche, being outdoors and in cold water, you know, fish species in the North Georgia area. But I can promise you this, you will probably not find better friendships and community in an organization that will have a better surrounding in just natural beauty. It's a great organization, a great group of people involved. And if you are just looking for relationships or friendships and you don't know a single thing about fly fishing, you qualify. It is an all skate, so to speak. And we hope you get some good nuggets of just life and experience and involvement in an organization that you may not be familiar with nationally, but specifically here in North Georgia. You can find us online at Facebook and Instagram, North Georgia Life Podcast. If you have suggestions for future episodes, you can always email us at northgeorgialifepodcast@gmail.com. And with that, we will get started. Welcome back to the North Georgia Life Podcast. Jake, your host. Today, we're going into some of the great outdoors in the North Georgia area, specifically around rivers, streams, and the lakes in our territory, with Jimmy Harris, who is representing Trout Unlimited, the Georgia Foothills chapter. And he's probably, if you're in any kind of fly fishing trout world, for more than, I don't know, maybe like 3 days, and you don't know Jimmy Harris's name, somebody else does that you've become friends with. So Jimmy and I first met, oh my gosh, probably 15 years ago. Yeah, like long time ago. And just is one of those people in our territory that is, I don't know if you consider yourself a staple of the North Georgia area, but I think a lot of people probably do. I don't think you can find a person to say a crossword about him. He's just one of the good old, I don't say old fashioned. We need to bring old fashioned to new fashioned.
I'll take old fashioned.
I'll take that. But Jimmy's going to spend some time talking with us about an organization that has numerous areas of presence in our North Georgia area, which is Trout Unlimited. So, Jimmy, I don't want to steal your whole intro, but give us a just kind of quick background on you, what you're, you know, how you found yourself in the North Georgia area for, yeah, you know, I don't even remember if you grew up here, but you've been here for more than a hot minute. So, and then just kind of how you wove your way into the space with Trout Unlimited.
Well, thank you, Jake. I did not grow up here. I grew up down in Middle Georgia in Jones County. And I came here my last quarter of grad school to do an internship with the Georgia Department of Natural Resources at what is now Unicoi State Park. And I just knew instantly, when I moved to this area, that this was where I was supposed to be. And I never never moved back to Middle Georgia. Nothing against Middle Georgia. I think I was just meant to be here. So I've been here for, going on over 45 years. Yeah, I'm still not a local though. But yeah, I've been here quite a while. You know, done a lot of traveling and fishing and things like that. And there's some places in the world that I really, really enjoy going to. But as far as a place to live, this is my favorite place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I have the opportunity to live here.
So what spurred you into getting involved with the Trout Unlimited World? And can you give, for people who don't know what that is, just kind of a brief overview of the TU World? And I think when you and I met, I was involved in the Gold Rush chapter up in Dahlonega. And then we moved south, and you know, life and convenience and time gets a little distracted. But give us a little bit of background on that.
Well, Trout Unlimited is a national organization. Actually, I suppose international if you consider work up in Canada. But it's a grassroots cold water conservation organization, meaning they focus primarily on trout waters and protecting them and restoring streams and waters that have been negatively impacted by any variety of things that can impact a trout stream. Trout are, and I almost hate to use this term because people use it quite frequently and it kind of loses some of its impact, but trout literally are the canary in the coal mine for clean water,
mm-hmm.
clean cold water. And if a stream held trout previously and doesn't hold trout now, in all likelihood, there was some kind of activity that changed the nature of that stream, you know, grading around it, removing all the trees and vegetation so that the sun beams down on it, more silt in it than is the natural amount, and the sunlight reflects off of that silt and just continues to warm the water up. Trout like water between about 40 degrees and 55 degrees is their prime, but they can survive up to around 65 degrees. But if you get over 65 degrees, you're going to have some mortality, and particularly if you get over 70 degrees, it just can't support trout. So I actually got involved with the Trout Unlimited in Georgia. I decided I wanted to learn how to fly fish, and I didn't know anyone that did at that time. And I happened to see in the local newspaper one day an announcement for the Raven chapter of Trout Unlimited was having a meeting, and they had a number and a guy's name to call there. And I called, and he said, yeah, come on up. So I went to a meeting. I got to know some of those guys. They took me under their wing, and I want to say they taught me how to fly fish, because they did. But I will also tell you that I'm a typical guy in that I'm kind of hard-headed and figured, okay, I've got the details down now. I know what I'm doing. And I literally fished with a fly rod for 3 years on the Chattooga River before I ever hooked and landed a trout. Now, that tells you one thing about me. I am more hard-headed than your average guy.
How many times did you go in and be like, I don't know what they're talking about. There's no fish in the water. There's not a single fish in the water.
No, listen, I knew there were fish there. To boil it down to something really simple, once I got some of the guys from Raven to go with me and kind of instruct me on the stream, I realized when a trout would rise to my fly, I would get so excited, I would snatch the fly away from the trout. And so, I mean, that was it. They were, you know, they finally one of them stood behind me and would slap me in the head every time I did that. And finally, it sank in. Okay, hesitate just a second.
Yeah.
See if you hook him. But no, that was it. And I owe it all to those guys up in Raven County, Doug Adams and Tom Landreth and all those guys who have passed on now. And I've got tremendous memories of fishing and camping with those guys, and they were the epitome of a conservationist. I mean, they were willing to step out and put their name on the line if they saw something that could be improved, or if they saw a way to educate other anglers and that kind of thing. And that's what attracted me to Trout Unlimited in general. Once I got to know, oh, this isn't just a bunch of guys that go fishing, a bunch of guys that love the fishery to the point where they're willing to stand up and fight for it. And so that's how I got involved with that. And like I say, we decided that, you know, there was probably enough interest in the Habersham County, White County, Hall County area that there could be another chapter. And so we started the Georgia Foothills chapter.
Mm-hmm.
We're based out of Habersham, but all of our members are primarily Habersham, White, and Hall County.
The thing you just mentioned that I think is a, especially right now in our, I don't even know if it's a post-COVID world, if we're just, right. I mean, I don't even know what to title the
yeah,
world we live in now, but
the hyper-aware world.
Yeah, the hyper-aware, hypersensitive, whatever you want to call it. The thing that I know from having been involved in the organization before, in organizations like it, that I think is especially needed and critical, and you know, whatever you want to call it in that gamut, is the friendships and the relationships and the bonds.
Yeah.
And the thing that I really enjoyed about it in my couple of years involved is you get to see areas that quite frankly you've never been to, because you need someone to take you there, because otherwise you're not finding your way back, and you're probably not going to get there to begin with. But doing things that are new, and in the world that we live in, where everything is a, you know, is an app, is a program, is a whatever, actually getting out and doing things in, like you said, an area that is just stunningly beautiful. Some of the river trips that we've gone on, if you forget where you're at, sometimes you think you're out in like Wyoming or Montana,
yeah,
just going through some of these areas, because it's so absolutely like gorgeous. And then you learn about, like, you know, the stream restoration projects. And, you know, for me, my DNA is just to fix it and do things and figure things out. And so I just thought it was the neatest thing in the world to be able to go out and do, you know, hands-on stream restoration projects, and understand some of the, you know, quite frankly, the mechanics of how and why you do certain things in the stream restoration projects, and how that impacts like the things you talked about between the,
yeah,
the oxygen, the water flow, the environment for
amount of sunlight,
yeah, all those things. But the relationship part of that, if you can just kind of touch on that for a minute, and then just kind of delve into, you know, you've got some people who are in phases of life where they're not as mobile as they once were, and they're like, I can't go take up, you know, I'm not hauling landscape timbers into the woods doing stream restoration projects. But that doesn't mean that there's no opportunity for friendships and fellowship and that sort of thing.
Oh, that's exactly right.
And
yeah,
then because you've got the ability for people to learn how to, you know, make different things, from flies to rods to all sorts of different things. There's still opportunities to go, you know, serve the local community and just build the friendships and the relationship part of that, which is, I think it's so constricted in the last few years, and some of it necessary and some of it probably unnecessary. But
it was a bizarre time. Yeah,
yeah, but it's an element of life that, again, we're so wrapped into all of the other moving parts of life that we let it go, And then all of a sudden you kind of wake up one day and you're like, I don't know if I have any real friends. Like, I don't know if I've got any real relationships because I'm not doing things with people that, like I used to do it. And so from your perspective in the years and the decades that you've been involved in the Trout Unlimited world and just the greater world of, you know, the community that represents in our area, just kind of share just some of your experiences, where people of different age and activity levels can be involved.
Yeah, and, you know, as you're sitting there going over all that, I'm thinking back back to the early to mid-90s when I was a lot younger. And you spend the day hiking into to the National Forest somewhere to get to a headwater stream that that has the capability of holding wild brook trout but needs just a little bit of help, a restoration or something. You spend the day driving rebar through 12-inch hemlock logs to hold them in place to create some stream structure that will then create aerated water and feeding lies and deep pools for protection from herons and otters and things like that. You spend a day or two doing that with a group of people and you're really good friends when you come out of there. I mean, because everybody knows, you know, what everybody else's limitations are, and they know if you're the kind of person that'll just, you know, grab that 9-pound sledgehammer and start pounding away. And it really is a bonding experience. But, you know, to get back to what you kind of touched on about, well, not everyone can do that, and I agree. I mean, these days, I can go in the woods and help with a stream restoration project, but if you want me to swing a 9-pound sledgehammer all day long, I'm sorry, you're going to have to get someone else. I can't do it anymore. Yeah. You know, just physically can't do it. But there are so many other things you can do. We typically have lunches prepared for us when we're out there and that kind of thing. And so somebody's got to take care of that. Usually when we're building a stream structure, we're moving some rocks around, and I don't mean big, huge boulders. I just mean rocks about the size of, you know, a softball or something like mm-hmm. that, to kind of help hold your structure in place and things like that. And most of us can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So let the Forest Service guys and the DNR guys sling the sledgehammer and we'll come behind them and clean it up and make it look real nice.
That's right. But, let watch your tax dollars at work.
That's right. Yeah. You know, and let me say something about that. One of the great things about Trout Unlimited, particularly here in Georgia and the Southeast, and I think the culture of the Southeast may have had a little bit of effect on other areas of the country. We have a tremendous working partnership with the Forest Service and with the Department of Natural Resources, not just here in Georgia, but in North Carolina and Virginia and on up the line there. And that, quite frankly, in some of the Western states, that was kind of an adversarial relationship years ago. You don't find that now. Everyone looked at the Southeast and said, wow, these guys are getting a lot done. And you know, I don't know how many of your listeners can recall back this far, but when I first moved here in the early 70s, trout fishing was basically following the stocking truck. That was trout fishing, and there were limits. There were limits on how many you could keep. There were limits on the size, and there were limits on the season. And over time, through these cooperative relationships, that we've had through Trout Unlimited, and people may say, well, you're giving Trout Unlimited way too much credit. I don't think so. I think those relationships, that three-legged stool between DNR, Forest Service, and Trout Unlimited has brought, particularly in Georgia, has brought trout fishing to where it is today. And I can say this without any hesitation because I've fished a lot of places. And there is some trout fishing in Georgia that will satisfy anybody's level of skill, anybody's level of desire about what kind of experience they want. You name it, there is a management tool in place to provide trout fishing experiences for anybody. Somebody who just literally bought a cane pole and a bobber and a couple worms this morning, to a guy who only dry fly fishes upstream to rising trout, the most, you know, persnickety angry you could ever imagine. They're playing to wild trout. We've got good wild trout populations scattered across Georgia. We've got put and take streams that they're stocked on a regular week, even weekly basis, so that people can get out and enjoy that experience. We've got wild brook trout, wild brown trout, wild rainbow trout. You have to work to get to them, but they're there. And they're there because the whole attitude of managing trout fishing in the Southeast has undergone a transformation over the last three, even four decades, I'd say. And there's some great opportunities out there.
Yeah. And that's in my world, the number of people that I meet, and this was, you know, the catalyst and really just the heart behind starting the podcast to begin with, was so many people I meet that are, it doesn't matter if they're from here, the North Georgia area, or they've moved here and they don't know a soul. There is so much undiscovered everything around us because it's there. I mean, and I don't quite frankly know how anybody could know all the gamut of things that are there. And we, as involved as we are in just various categories of life in our community and whatnot, I've been here for 17 years or something like that. I still find out almost every month where I'm like, wait, what is that? Where is that?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I had the I'm trying to get them on the podcast later this year. The best brisket I have ever had in my life, and it was a place in Winder, and it was catered for an event we were at, and it was so good. My wife texted two different people that were involved in the event because she wanted to make certain we didn't forget to ask, where is this from and how can we get it? And it's like, I mean, I don't know how long they've been there, but I've never had them, you know, had it before. And so it's stuff like that, that there's,
I mean, it's literally around every corner.
And that's the part of, that I think we don't really realize how unique of a place we have to call home in the North Georgia area, because you cannot say that about most, quite frankly, probably about most regions in the state, but certainly around the country, that there are this many just hidden gems and just like you could spend your whole life exploring the area and you still would find new stuff every month.
You never have to do the same thing twice.
Yeah, from a, I don't want to say a business standpoint, but you've created a business in this realm, if industry is the right word for it, but let's call it an industry that you were passionate about and has done well. You've been around for a while, so you're apparently running a good business.
Remember, I'm hard-headed.
That's right. For people who are, whether it is the outdoor element of, you know, getting in the water and doing stuff like the stream restoration projects or some of the other you know, volunteer work you guys do. From that angle, and just from a, well, I'm kind of, you know, passionate about XYZ. I mean, there's a million different causes that there's probably not an adequate organization or nonprofit filling the void right now, or maybe there's one, but there needs to be like seven. What advice or counsel would you give someone who's in that phase of like, man, I'd really like to be involved in, you know, for you, as I kind of hear you, it was like, we got this great resource. We want this great resource to still be here for the generations that come. And if there's no one, you know, if there's no one watching and working to preserve that, it's going to slowly go away. Yeah, what would you give to someone who's maybe has that same kind of heart, similar industry, different arena of life, whatever, in terms of how to get started, or how things that you wish you had learned sooner in terms of just getting something off the ground?
Yeah, there are, you're right, there are numerous groups out there now that have established a lot of credibility in what they do. You know, here's the bottom line, and we can take trail streams, we can take hiking trails, we can take bike routes, whatever you may have an interest in. The resource in today's world, with so many people impacting on it, wanting to get out and get away from the day-to-day crowds and traffic and stress of work and that kind of thing, the only thing that's going to save those resources is if you have a solid core of individuals who love that resource and love doing that activity in that resource or on that resource or whatever, canoeing, kayaking, fishing Lake Lanier or whatever. And so if you're looking to just participate in something, what was the term you mean you used earlier on? He's an old-fashioned guy?
Yeah.
Okay. But I want to say, Google is your friend. Just go, you know, what are you interested in? Are you interested in canoeing? Just Google canoeing North Georgia. And I promise you, you're going to find more opportunities than you can investigate in a year. So take that step, learn a little bit about it, learn about the different organizations. You know, there are people that just love to kayak. There are people that the only reason they're in a kayak is they're fishing out of it.
Yeah.
You know, you just learn a little bit about the things that you think may interest you and delve into it. Just, you know, stick your toe in the water and find out, is this something I would like to do? Do I like the people that are doing this? You know, do I have a place in this group?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would recommend. Now, if you're interested in becoming a good steward of the resources, if that's your primary motivating factor, not that you want to go fishing, not that you want to go bird watching, or hunting or whatever, but that your primary motivation is, I want to be a good steward of the resources, then look for some of the organizations that are doing that, like Trout Unlimited or Georgia Wildlife Federation or Georgia Forest Watch, or, you know, any of the groups like that, and just see what you can find out about them and find out, are they doing grassroots stuff, or are they, and I'm not disparaging the Sierra Club, but are they just somebody who I'd send my money into,
right,
and I never get to participate in anything, you know, something like that.
Right.
But just to give you an idea, our Foothills chapter of Trout Unlimited, we have a fundraiser every year. We didn't last year because of COVID, maybe didn't the year before, but typically every year we have a fundraiser, and it's a banquet where anybody that wants to come can join us, and, you know, we'll usually have some good barbecue and some good bluegrass, and we'll have lots of prizes and gifts to raffle off and auction off and that kind of thing. This year, it's called the Hoot on the Hooch, and we have it on the banks of the Chattahoochee River in Helen, and it's on March 25th this year. And so, you know, our objective is to raise money for the things that we're funding. And so let me just give you an idea of the things this small group of trout anglers here in this area are doing. We are financial sponsors of Smith Gall Woods, their youth education program. And they have a tremendous youth education program that they reach out to all the schools in this region and either go to the schools with programs, you know, on aquatic biology, reptiles, birds, whatever, you know. But we support them to the tune of about $4,000 a year. We have a program called Trout in the Classroom, where we provide cold water aquariums to go in the schools, and we'll find a teacher that is willing to dedicate their time and effort to maintaining that, and we will provide trout eggs, fertilized trout eggs, to the classroom, and the students in that classroom will maintain that aquarium until the trout eggs hatch and become fingerlings, and then they'll make a field trip to a trout stream nearby and stock those trout in a trout stream.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. We sponsor the Georgia Council of Trout Unlimited has a youth trout camp every summer. And it's a week-long trout camp up at Tallulah Falls. And it's an overnight thing. They spend the night there every night for a week. And we teach them how to fly fish. We teach them how to tie flies. We teach them about stream biology. We teach them, they get to work with the Forest Service and DNR on some of their projects and things. And the different chapters of Trout Unlimited in Georgia sponsor one or two kids each. And so none of the kids attending that week-long camp have to pay anything.
Wow.
To attend it. And the cost would probably be well over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
If this were a private camp. We support several nonprofit organizations like Project Healing Waters for veterans who have returned from their service and are experiencing maybe some difficulty becoming reincorporated into the community, or maybe there's some physical limitations they now have, and we meet with them, and we take them fly fishing. We have rod building and fly tying classes for them and things like that. Casting for Recovery is one of my passions. Casting for Recovery is a nonprofit organization that's nationwide, and they have weekend retreats for women who have experienced breast cancer, and it doesn't matter if they're actively fighting it or if they've been in remission or whatever. They get to attend that weekend retreat for free. It's a very moving experience to introduce someone who's never had any thought of trout fishing, and we introduce them to the sport, and it's not all about fishing. It's a weekend of healing and communication and understanding how other people in your situation are dealing with the issues that they face with, you know, fighting cancer and that kind of thing. And then we kind of top it off with a fishing trip at the end of the retreat. That's a lot of fun. So we fund a lot of conservation projects and just community outreach projects if we think it has something to do that will benefit the cold water resources here in North Georgia. So, you know, just don't be shy. If you want to try to find out how to get involved with any of this stuff, not just Trout Unlimited, just get online and Google it. There may be, I know in Atlanta, in metropolitan Atlanta, there are tons of meetup groups down there that get together with someone who has volunteered to be a leader and an instructor in an activity, and you meet with several other people who've never done it before, and you learn how together. And I know there's a meetup fly fishing group, at least one. So, you know, there are just tons of opportunities to get involved with if you want.
You don't have to, quite frankly, know anything about anything related to it. There will be people. When I got involved, over a decade ago, it was, I think I held a fly rod once, but didn't know. I mean, didn't know what to what flies to use. Didn't know how to how to tie them. Didn't know where to go. Any of that. And that's the nice thing is you have people who have been doing it, quite frankly, probably their whole lives, and you have people who were just like you a year ago, or just joined same time as you, and so you have that diversity, and it's not there's no, my experience, yours is probably similar. There's no judgment or stigmatism of like, oh, you're not like one of us. It's like, oh yay, we got somebody that we can help.
That's it exactly. We're just excited to have new people coming into to get involved with us,
Yeah.
So yeah, there's absolutely no judgment.
Yep.
At all.
So I know you got a busy morning. Just a couple quick things before we wrap up. One, the things you just mentioned between the summer camps, Healing Waters, Casting for Recovery, what's the easiest, best way of people finding out more information about those? Maybe somebody's got a child that would be a good fit for, just needs a change of pace, or maybe they really like the outdoors and this would be a cool thing, or somebody's family member is a veteran or going through breast cancer. How do people get connected to the things you just shared?
Again, they all have a social media presence if you wanted to just Google them. If you wanted to, just have one to zero in on, go to Foothills TU, like their Facebook page, or you can go to raventu.org, and that's their website, or you can go to tu.org, that's the national website. And you'll find what outreach activities each one of those groups are involved with, and how best to get involved with it yourself. The number one overall overreaching, I think, agenda for just about all of these groups we've talked about is to educate the general public, our neighbors, about the resources available here in North Georgia, and what you can do to help conserve them. And that's the main thing. Oh gosh, there are arguments all across the country right now about access to public lands and everything, and we've got such a great system here in North Georgia that, I mean, there's almost 700,000 acres of land in the Chattahoochee National Forest up here.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, you can find any outdoor activity you want to find up here in the Chattahoochee National Forest. If somebody wants to reach out to me, just ask me a question. What would you do if you wanted to do this? My email is flyfish@unicoioutfitters.com. That's a lot of letters and a lot of vowels. It's kind of like singing Old MacDonald Had a Farm, But flyfish@unicoioutfitters.com, and I will do my best to get an answer to your questions.
Awesome. Real quick before we wrap up, a question I like to do towards the end of every episode is called Lightning Round, which is a question that has nothing to do with anything we've said.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm gonna give you I'm gonna give you some options. So the question one option is, what's the best deal you've gotten on any? You can pick anything. The best deal you've gotten so far this year, this calendar year, or two. Best book or movie that you've watched in or watched or read in the last year?
In the last year. Man, I've always wondered how I would do on Jeopardy. I think I'm getting an idea right now. I'm drawing a total blank. Let's see. You know, I like to read a lot of things about fly fishing and not just oh, I went here and I caught six and mm-hmm. and you know, one of them was 18 inches long, that kind of thing. Yeah. I'm talking about the history of fly fishing, and there's a great book that came out 3 or 4 years ago called Lords of the Fly.
Mm.
Not Lord of the Fly.
Right.
That's an old classic.
Right.
This is Lords of the Fly. And to me, it was the most interesting thing to read about the development of the catching a tarpon on the fly in Florida. And, you know, spoiler alert, I think most of the people that started that that sporting activity down there were insane. that's the only way I can describe it. They were insane. No, that's a great book. If you're into fishing, and particularly saltwater fishing,
mm-hmm.
I think you didn't. That's one of the better books I've read in a long time.
Cool. Well, good. Okay. That wasn't a book on my radar, so I wrote it down. That sounds very intriguing. It sounds like it should probably be a movie, also.
You know what? It should be. I mean, it really should be. It's there are enough characters in that book.
Well,
that you could create a series.
Yeah,
not just a movie, but a series. And the only reason I feel comfortable saying that they were insane is, you know, remember back, I fished for 3 years before I landed a trout on a fly rod. So I think I know insanity when I see it.
Yeah, that's hilarious. And fishing on a river is a little bit different than fishing on the ocean. Well, Jimmy, I'm going to let you go. Give me the easiest way to find the Foothills chapter, and then just quick details again on the fundraiser you have coming up in March. People need to RSVP, they just show up, details and whatnot, and then I'll let you go.
As far as the fundraiser is March 25th at the Hellendorf in Helen, and it'll start about 6 o'clock, and just kind of go until we all decide we want to go home. And it's our fundraiser for the year. It's the only activity we have where we're raising money to support the conservation activities that we and the charity organizations that we support. You can also go to GeorgiaFoothills.org. That's the website.
Yeah.
You can go to Georgia Foothills Chapter Trout Unlimited on Facebook. Those are probably the best ways to find out what's going on and in the chapter. And we do quite a bit of volunteer work, and the more volunteers we can have, the happier we'll be. So we'd love to introduce any of your listeners to what we do. And you know, if you're wanting to learn how to trout fish in North Georgia, the best way is to come to one of our meetings and kind of get to be good friends with some of the folks who are there who will probably take you fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole lot better than going 3 years without catching anything.
You think?
Yeah. just show up and be like, I want to know where the big dumb ones are. Like,
yeah, well, that's what we're all looking for.
Speaking of, I found the thing. If anybody is interested, as we'll wrap up with this. I saw 3 days ago. So this is what are we in? Third week of January, fourth week January. I don't know. There was it was the Georgia North Georgia trout fishing Facebook page. Some little, I don't say little girl. She looks like she's maybe 12. caught this rainbow trout down by the Buford Dam that's half the size of her. It's there's probably someone holding her arms up from behind her because the thing, I mean, it's like a small dolphin. It is ginormous.
I love it that she caught it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
Not some guy who'd been doing it for 40 years.
No. Yeah.
She caught it.
That's it. Jimmy, always a pleasure. Good to catch up a little bit.
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, and we're actively up. It seems like at least once a month we're up in the Clarksville or Helen area, so we'll try to stop in and ambush you guys at some point while we're running around.
Sounds great.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
This is the North Georgia Life Podcast. Embrace life where you live.